Welcome back to The Source. I'm Paul Flav. We're talking about your kids and their education in public schools under the new reforms that are going to start being implemented this year. HB 5 was passed with lots of bipartisan support and signed by the governor. We're interested in how you feel about less tests and the reform. Give us a call, 614-8980. Joining us now is State Representative Mike Villarreal, author of HB 5. Mike, thanks for joining us on The Source.
Glad to be here.
If you have a question or comment, again, 614-8980. Maybe you're a grateful parent, maybe a worried one with questions, maybe you're a teacher, whatever. Give us a call, 614-8980. Now, Representative Villarreal, we had a chance to talk with you earlier in the year. You talked to us in an opposition group about the reform bill, and you came out the victor on this one. Why do you think this bill passed and garnered so much support?
We had a very broad coalition. When it comes right down to it, the basic math in politics, certainly in the legislature, is there is power in numbers, and when your numbers are coming from different folks of different backgrounds, then you have a winning team. In our case, we had parents, educators, business leaders, chambers of commerce. We had a real diverse coalition who came to the same conclusion, and that is that our schools are wasting too much time and money on standardized testing. The state of Texas was spending nearly $500 million. To give you a sense of perspective, the next state closest to us was New York, and it was spending only $40 million on its testing system. And so I think that was sort of the main reason we were successful, but I also believe we passed a very balanced bill. We still have testing in our schools. We didn't do away with testing. We just bought some balance, going from 15 standardized exams in our high schools to 5. We decreased the emphasis on preparing for testing. I included a provision that said schools can only benchmark. That's the term we use for test prep of students. They can only do 2 of these for every 1 state-required exam during the school year. We protected local control over the course grades. In the prior legislation, the student's test score was going to make up 15% of their grade. With the bill that we passed this session, we severed that idea of allowing test results to interfere with a teacher's course grade of a student. And finally, we reformed our high school diplomas. Prior to this bill, a student could graduate on a minimum program, which was basically a road to nowhere. It was a diploma that could not get you into a community college and really didn't have much opportunity for students. And today, with House Bill 5, there is a foundation program that all kids will be placed on. It requires 5 tests, 1 in Algebra 1, U.S. History, Biology, English 1, and then English 2.
So let me interrupt you. So you eliminated 10 tests, if I remember correctly, and so for a lot of years, Texas was pointed to as a place where teacher accountability was really taken seriously. Look at all these tests that our kids are made to take. Do you think that the passage of this bill will change the perception of Texas?
I think that there is there was some misunderstanding. I remember during the session, the Washington Post wrote an editorial sort of criticizing the legislature for rolling back on its commitment to accountability. I think they were misguided in that. They did not understand that what we were doing was putting a halt on new plans to enforce a new testing regime that would take us from 5 to 15. So if anything, I think what we're doing is maintaining some balance. And so, no, there's definitely accountability, but there's also a big picture appreciation for the fact that test scores aren't everything. And our end goal is to provide a rich learning experience for our kids, and that means giving the teacher space in the classroom to teach and not just be preoccupied with test preparation.
Now, the Texas Tribune this weekend published an article citing several school districts that have the majority of their students graduating on that minimum track that you were deriding just a few moments ago, and they're a little worried about what's going to happen next. Do you think that it's going to negatively impact graduation rates in some of these communities?
I think it's going to cause our high schools, our teachers, our educators, and our students to recalibrate their expectations for high school for the better. In the end, we are not doing students a service by letting them graduate on a high school plan that does not let them qualify to enter a community college for college coursework. That's not good for anybody. And so having everybody be assured that their high school degree, their diploma is meaningful and is something that they can build upon is I think what we all want. And so I believe this is a step forward.
So obviously the bill passed and you wrote it, but there are also about 40 or so amendments on there. Are there any on there that you wish weren't, or do you feel like this is a perfect bill, or what's your feelings on what got passed?
Well, there's this thing is a perfect bill. and I was one of five authors on this legislation, and so it's a collaborative process and it's a give and take. There were a number of amendments that went on to the legislation. Ultimately, I believe we arrived at a bill that moves us forward. It de-emphasizes testing. It saves us money. Most importantly, it saves our teachers time and allows them and our students to be focused on learning and not just test prep. You know, the downside of emphasizing testing is that, one of the downsides, is that teachers and principals and really all the adults in the system on average responded by narrowing their attention to just the material that was going tested.
Right.
And that's not a service to our children.
Now we saw, in Atlanta, we saw teaching to the test lead to cheating. In Chicago public schools, you saw a similar situation. There are definitely some negatives to teaching to the test, but are you hearing any blowback from your constituents? We got about a minute left before I have to let you go.
No, I have not. Of course, we just ended the regular session, and we are in the process of rulemaking and implementation, but all the feedback we have received thus far has been positive. That's not to say this is perfect legislation, but it's a work in process with all the engaged citizens that have thus far been a part of it.
All right, great. Well, Representative Villarreal, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. When we return, we'll be talking to a couple of administrators from two different school districts here in San Antonio, finding out a little bit about what the kids can expect, what the teachers can expect, and just more about the implementation of this very large bill. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm Paul Flav. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source here on Texas Public Radio. We're talking about kids and their education here in San Antonio and across the state with the passage of HB 5. We've got a lot of changes coming. So we wanted to touch base with a couple of school districts. We've got Carol Harl from the Assistant Superintendent of Curriculum at Harlandale and Aubrey Chancellor, the Public Information Officer for Northeast ISD. Carol Harl, I was interested in talking to you about what the curriculum is going to look like for these kids. What are going to be the big changes that they see? And you had mentioned on the phone how just in the span of 4 years, you've got three different kind of sets of understandings for the kids. So can you tell me more about what the curriculum is going to look like and what the kids should expect? Carol, are you there?
I'm there. I'm here.
Wonderful. So I'm not sure if you heard my question, but I was asking about what should the kids expect?
the kids expect?
Yes, from these curriculum changes that you're going to see, or from the HB5 reforms.
Well, actually, I don't know that they'll see very many changes with the curriculum, because the Texas Essential Knowledge and Skills is still what we follow. It's our roadmap for instruction. What they will hear is a different vocabulary used regarding how they'll be accountable for the learning, particularly the incoming ninth graders. They're going to hear about the opportunity for the one diploma and the endorsements and all of that, which offers them a lot more flexibility and choice. The current 10th and 11th graders will hear about, going from 15 to 5, which, they'll be excited about that. And then the options that are relative to having, do we continue with 5, or some will probably want to continue or make the choice. It'll be their option to be under the old plan. And then there are the kiddos, most of them are seniors that may still, if there are any, that still have to take tax and are under the old plan. So really, the curriculum has stayed the same. What the kids learn every day in their courses is based on, the Texas Essential Knowledge and Skills. But how they'll show that they know the curriculum of Algebra 1, English 1 and 2, Biology, and U.S. History will be their end-of-course exam versus the 15 they had prior to this year.
And how does the elimination of the opt-out track or the minimum diploma track, how will that affect Harlandale students?
Well, eliminating a minimum, I think, does a couple things. It allows us to have higher expectations for our students. And, under the new plan, and I'm just calling it the one diploma plan, there will be more workforce and, post-secondary opportunities that go hand-in-hand. And so they'll have more choices and options, more ways kids can show they know, more ways for kids to be successful. And so that's probably the greatest advantage of eliminating three different versions and offering more flexibility and options for kids.
And so what it sounds like that's going to mean a little bit, obviously you just said flexibility for the teachers. What is it going to change? How is it going to change how they teach or when they're teaching what?
I think that's a good question. Right now we're waiting for all the House Bill 5 dust to settle, but I'm not sure it's really going to change again. The standards that necessitate certain course requirements and also those that are part of advanced placement and dual credit. It'll really help them have important conversations about rigor, because all the assessments that were provided to the students last year will be released, we're hoping, in the next few weeks. So they'll be able to look at what they teach through the assessment lens and look at the rigor of the assessment items and get a good handle on how what they teach in at least those 5 courses will be assessed at the state level. Other than that, I think what their goal is to provide the best possible engaging lessons on the state standards to the kids, and not fall back on a state assessment to give them that feedback, but the assessment along the way that they're giving for the kids, whether it's 3 weeks assessments or projects or semester, whatever those are. I think they'll fall back to kind of the old school way of teaching, where you just look for the best in your kids and you assess them in the ways that you feel show that they know what they've learned in reference to the standards.
Okay. Carol Harrell, stand by. I'm going to go really quickly to Aubrey Chancellor here from Northeast ISD. Aubrey, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful. Thanks for joining us. I was wondering, Aubrey, in Northeast ISD, you guys have a lot of smart kids, just as like Harlandale, and under current law that just took effect, any of the ones that maybe failed last year's standardized tests, they're given a reprieve. Is that correct for this next school year?
Yes, if they happen to not pass the tests that are no longer required.
Ah, okay. So not the ones that are still, not the 5 that remained, but the 10 that have gone away, is what you're saying.
Exactly. If we're talking about English 1, English 2, Biology, Algebra 1, and U.S. History, if they didn't pass those, they are still going to have to do so. But the other 10 that essentially went away and are no longer required, we had about 2,000-something kiddos that we got to call after learning the news and said, hey, you don't have to go to summer school this summer. It's no longer mandatory.
So there still is a summer school, though, I would imagine.
Yes, absolutely, for the other 5 subjects that are still mandatory.
That's too bad that they failed the wrong test, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So, Aubrey, I'm interested in what the conversations are starting to look like over at Northeast ISD regarding the, as Carol had said, the dust settling from HB5 and how they're thinking about implementation. What are you guys starting to think about and talk about over there?
Well, first, we were very excited. We think this is a great step in the right direction. We were absolutely for reducing the amount of these high-stakes standardized tests. So we were very pleased with that. Obviously, it was a quick turnaround. The governor didn't immediately sign it, and so we were kind of on a wait and see. We didn't know if we were going to get to make those calls to some of our students and say that they no longer had to attend. And so many of them did end up having to start the summer school because it began about a week after school ended for the year. And then once they no longer had to come, they no longer did so. So it was a lot of phone calling initially, getting parents the information, and just really learning a lot of information in a quick amount of time.
It's not a small bill, and it's got a number of amendments.
It's really not. Absolutely. And right now, we're actually still awaiting guidance from TEA. We were told that we were maybe going to hear something last week. We haven't done that yet. We're still waiting. It's obviously a tall task for them as well to sort all of this out. So we're really on a wait and see right now.
Well, that's very interesting. Stand by, Aubrey. I'm going to go back to Carol real quick and just ask. Carol, regarding this standby with the TAA, what are you guys waiting to hear back from them? And what do you think, how do you think it's going to impact your summer school?
Well, we already, you mean summer school for next year, because we already provided accelerated instruction for students who did not pass one or more of the EOCs of the 5, the pared-down version from the 15 to the 5. And so we had really good success with that. We had future teachers from UTSA come help us out. We had small group instruction. We had real targeted materials based on what the kids need. So we did that piece this summer. Looking ahead for next summer, I think what we'll learn is how to be, what are some more ways we could impact kids, not just at the grade level that they take the EOC or the STAR assessment, but particularly starting at K-1 and 2 and really looking at a strong vertical piece and really making summer school more a part of the school year versus kind of a afterthought or only for kids who needed intervention on tests. So looking at more as interventions for any kiddo who's not doing well in any subject area. So we're looking at that. We're also looking at, there's a interesting community input piece with House Bill 5 that, you know, I honestly hope to learn more about, because the community will also provide an evaluative piece about how they see us and our, how well we're doing with our kids is my current understanding of that. So we look forward to that. I mean, we welcome that. And so we're also looking at all different kinds of ways, starting in August, how we can get the word out with this new vocabulary of House Bill 5 and the new behaviors that have to, come from the community, from the parents, from the students, but at this juncture, mostly from the teachers, the counselors, and administrators, and then with support from their central office partners. So, let's clarify exactly what one diploma means. Let's really look at a deeper level at the additional endorsements. What implications will that have for more courses at high school? What would be the certifications and qualifications for the teachers in these areas? I mean, STEM, business, industry, public services, what a cool thing to add. Arts and humanities, wow. So all of that being said, we have a year to get this in order. So I think, you know, starting next week with more legal expertise and support from our service centers and MoCasey and folks like that, we'll get a really good handle on where we need to go deeper.
All right. Aubrey Chancellor, I'm interested in just a short period of time, we've got about 30 seconds left, and what this means for you as the public information officer with these community engagement pieces.
Well, it definitely will mean a lot of different avenues for communicating the message, figuring out what the message is first, and then letting all of our community know about it, because it is a lot of new information to take in and a lot of changes.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Aubrey Chancellor, Public Information Officer for Northeast Independent School District, and Carol Harl, Assistant Superintendent of Curriculum Instruction over at Harlandale. This has been The Source. We've been talking Texas education reform. I'm Paul Flav, and we've been finished. We're finished now. Thank you.
Paul Flav produces the show. Oversight is provided by TPR Program Director Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor, and production assistance comes from Catherine Dixon. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.